You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video, gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDVerdict.com. On this week's episode, Kev fancies a journey, John has no time for the wall, and Steve pours one out for 38 Studios. Episode 27, we are on mission and Oscar Mike. Good evening, you're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, gear, Netflix, Gatorade, sketchbook,
cocaine,
heroin, barbiturates, alcohol,
robbing shit,
thievery related,
smoking cigars,
lewds, whippets,
bender,
everything, we are everything related. This is the everything related Blast Processing Podcast on, where are we?
DVDVerdict.com.
Are we? Okay.
So we are, I think.
Yes. Have so.
Yeah, they haven't canceled us yet.
They think they canceled
us. We're still on the air.
They thought they canceled us 2 years ago. We're back on the air. That's right. Flying through the air in our magnificent spaceship. With me, as usual, of course, are my compadres, Mr. John Mercer.
Hello.
And Mr. Kevin Woolridge.
Hey, hopefully not here for my last time.
Hopefully not here for his last time. And, of course, your host, Steve, who probably is here for the last time.
No, you'll always be here.
Host my ass.
You'll never leave. Never.
All right, we're here to talk about games. John, start talking about games.
Well, let's see, basically, two this week for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I sat down and forced myself to play Game of Thrones for a review. We Stand Apart.
Yeah, that's cool. I assumed as much.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that it's... Stop that. If that's all the game was, it would be awesome. But it's not.
Game of Thrones, yeah. There are crows, yeah. We Stand Divided?
We Stand Divided. I think it's got a great story. I like the character development. I like the way, you know, some of your choices in there. There's flashes of genius in there, how your choices actually affect your stats.
Yeah, I really like how it added, like, little perks almost based on how you solve certain problems.
Yep, and like I love the very Shadowrun-esque, you know, when you pump points into a positive attribute, you've got to take something negative as well to balance it.
Yeah, perks,
right?
Pause.
Yeah, I like that stuff, but it's just, it's so ugly.
I didn't really find it ugly.
I found it hideous, man, and I don't believe that that game's been in development for 7 years.
It hasn't been. They said that themselves.
I don't give a shit what the title screen says. If they couldn't have been using Unreal 3.
Dude, it's not that ugly. I'd say you had your camera settings wrong.
It's hideous. It's absolutely hideous. And the way my guy was phasing through doors. And those super stiff animations. Every time I saw, like, the guys get into a fight, with every swing of the sword, I was expecting somebody to start singing Charlie Mops.
You sure you're playing the same game I played?
I'm sure I'm playing the same game you're playing. Honestly, man, with the asking price they've got on that game, go out and buy the DVD box set instead. Okay? My recommendation... Liberate me. Liberate tutto me.
Now, well, see, I've been playing it for a bit of, I'm about 8 or 9 hours into it, and I don't find it that ugly. In fact, I think it's a better looking game than, say, the original Dragon Age.
Yes, but let's not forget when the original Dragon Age came out.
2008? 2009?
Hmm. 4 years, man.
Yeah, but it's not a bad looking game, man.
It's nowhere near on par with other RPGs.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about The Witcher 2, then no.
No. I'm talking about The Witcher 2, I'm talking about Amalur, I'm talking about Skyrim, I'm talking about all of them. If you're that hard up to play an RPG, there's plenty of other stuff out there. For fuck's sakes, play Risen 2. before you play Game of Thrones.
It's, no, no. I've played Risen 2, and that's just not, that's not even fair. Risen 2 sucks.
There is only one thing I can think of for Cyanide Studios to do to make up for this game.
Yeah?
Take the black.
Well played. Well played.
Yeah, like okay. I'm
Cyanide need to march up to the wall, you know, the overpass in Paradise.
Yeah.
And they need to stay there for the rest of their lives with their...
And I totally disagree with you. Yeah, I gotta say, I totally disagree with you there. I don't think it's that bad at all.
Unhappier news is I don't even want to talk about Game of Thrones anymore.
That's too bad, because I'm going to be talking about it when it's my turn.
That's okay. I can always mute my headset.
Oh!
But
you're so lucky that I don't dismiss you like a douchebag when you talk.
You always dismiss me like
I don't.
A hey, guys, it's all right. It's all right, guys. It's okay. John, what else have you been playing?
To wash away Game of Thrones, I picked up two games. I've only had time to play one of them yet. I picked up Dragon's Dogma, which unfortunately the plastic hasn't been cracked on that yet.
Yep.
Actually, no, the plastic's been cracked, but the disc hasn't been out of the spindle. And I picked up Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Woo!
Or as I'm affectionately going to be calling it, Griffs.
Griffs?
Yeah, well, we had Graw. We gotta have Griffs. You gotta have a little acronym for it.
Okay, fair enough.
If you pretend the little colon that comes after Ghost Recon is an I, if you squint a little bit, it looks like an I. So
that's
Griffs.
Brilliant.
That is pretty brilliant.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, like Mission Impossible 3 was me 3. But anyway, no, I've been playing some Griffs, and I'm very, very much enjoying it. And that's coming from a guy who's, you know, I've never been down with the tactical shooters. I missed out on the original generation Ghost Recon, and Rainbow Six was around before Ghost Recon, correct?
Yeah, Rainbow Six was the first.
Yeah, I was never really into that stuff, and I'm very, very much enjoying this. I understand that they have streamlined it quite a bit. From earlier iterations, you're not quite as much babysitting the squad anymore.
It's not drastically different from Advanced Warfighter, but it is, like, it has been streamlined, yeah, but it's not dumbed down to the degree that some people say it is.
Yeah. But, I mean, man, like, from the very first time in that first mission, when you pull off your first room breach.
Yeah.
The game had me. Right? And I gotta say, there is something that is equally annoying and awesome about not being able to turn on the game to play it without getting an invite from someone on my friends list. You want to play Guerrilla Mode? Dude, I just started single player. Oh, it's okay, we can play co-op single player. No, I don't want to play co-op single player with three guys who've been like, who have already finished the game and it's only been out a week. I don't want to play co-op single player where it's going to be like, Ensign John, you go stand over there in the corner now and we'll take out this room full of 50 terrorists. Can I do anything, guys? Yeah, you can throw sensors. Okay. Like I said, I'm very much enjoying it, and Guerrilla Mode is awesome.
Oh my god, is it ever.
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to have some more to say about the multiplayer, so I won't get too much into that. I was very, very much pleased with Guerrilla Mode. Now, I've only played it on one map. It was like we were in a... it was almost like we were protecting a computer server in an office building.
Okay, yeah. I haven't done that. The only one I played on was the runway. Yeah.
We were on one floor of an office building. You had the big balcony outside, and you had in between waves that helicopters come by and drop supplies out around the balcony, right?
Yeah, same thing on the runway, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean the guys would be breaching the room from different locations. Like one section, they'd swing in through windows or, right?
Freaking awesome game.
I loved how you the very first wave of it is you infiltrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
Man, I was snapping necks. Yeah, it gets a pretty big thumbs up for me. You know, I don't see people complain like. I've read complaints and reviews about the visuals. I think it's gorgeous.
Man, I've seen some capture footage of the Xbox 360 version in high def.
Yeah.
I think the problem with the visuals that people are having is they're reviewing the Xbox 360 version.
Yeah, well, I picked it up on PS3 because I figured that's what you and the boys will all be picking it up.
Yeah, that's what we all did on, yeah.
So, and...
PS3 version, then, is gorgeous.
Yep, and well, I figured, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of multiplayer. I'm not paying for Xbox Live.
No.
I'm not doing it anymore.
Uh-uh.
Even in multiplayer, it's still gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful.
Still good. And I usually find that in games that aren't called Starhawk, that the visuals usually take a drop in multiplayer.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I mean, like, you know, I'm reading people talking about how bare the landscape are and everything. Or the landscape. You're in Nicaragua. But you're in Bolivia.
Yeah,
if you're not in the jungle, you're looking at bleached rocks. And yeah, man, I'm loving it. I think like the character models look good. The guns, they got this awesome sense of power to them.
And that was something that Gra 2 did well as also, you know, like that they really had that feeling that you were shooting firearms, not...
Is this the same developer? I think I saw three developer names at the beginning.
I think Ion Storm and Ion Storm.
Red Storm, sorry.
What's that?
I think they're called
Storm. Red Storm, yeah. Red Storm, which is, I think they're Austin, Texas, or somewhere in southern U.S., I think, and Ubisoft Paris were both involved with Gra 1 and 2. So, then...
Okay, so you got two of the development teams that have been... Obviously, with Ghost Recon for a while.
Yeah.
But as my, I picked up Advanced Warfighter 2 towards the tail end of it, but as my first day one adoption of a Tom Clancy title, I'm outside of Splinter Cell, of course. I'm really, really impressed. Loving it.
Awesome game, man.
Big recommendation for me, man. One of the best third person shooters I have ever played.
Nice.
Yep.
Hmm.
Near you, Mr. Village.
I have never played a Ghost Recon game.
No?
And I don't know anything about these games. I'm not a huge military shooter anyway.
Yeah, guy, yeah.
Right? But I've never played any of them.
Well, neither am I, man.
So did you see my eyes while you guys were talking? Every time you're talking about, what's it, Gras?
Gras.
Every time you talk about Gras, my eyes kind of get these little swirly lines in them.
Dude, my military shooters usually have to involve jetpacks and robots.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I generally don't like military shooters.
Mm.
Because the Ghost Recon series has always done it so goddamn phenomenally well that everything else I play is just kind of like, it's not Ghost Recon.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, they're coming from the, well, obviously different development teams, although I think Red Storm still had something to do with the Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
But, it's almost like the old days with Iron Maiden fans and Judas Priest fans. It's like you're not allowed to like Ghost Recon and Rainbow Six at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're two very different feeling games.
And to be honest with you, Advanced Warfighter, my history with Advanced Warfighter was, of course, I was an early adopter, Xbox 360, and that was the first game I played on the system that really felt like a next-gen title to me. That was the first title of this generation where I felt like, okay, this is it, this is the arrival, you know?
Well, yeah, like you had, like your, I think that was the first real shooter I saw with, you know, like dashing from cover to cover and
the little baseball slides and stuff like that, and how like the missions were kind of seamless. Like between missions, you'd hop on the helicopter and fly to another section of Mexico City, and stuff. Like it was a really, really, really well put together game, really well executed, and really well thought out. And Gra 2, I mean, just kind of perfected it. And then now you get Future Soldier, which just, man, wow, you know.
I think that's it for me though. I haven't had the opportunity to play Dragon's Dogma.
Sorry, I think both of us will end up talking about Dragon's Dogma. Definitely, yeah.
Fantastic.
I'll throw in. I'll go next, I guess.
Go for it.
I'll save you for last, Mr. Wolver.
All right.
Just to mix up the order a bit. I always usually end up going last. But I did play a lot more Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones.
Winter's coming.
I did play, I'd say probably a good 6 or 7 hours. And I'm really digging it. I really enjoy it. I love the combat. I think the game feels really cool. I like the look of the game. I haven't really run into anything yet to make me kind of go, you know, like it's been overall a pretty enjoyable experience for me. I'm really liking the narrative. Again, I really like the combat, but the combat reminds me of Dragon Age, which I also loved. So, you know, I'm not going to get too much deeper into my thoughts on it, but I do think it's a pretty damn good RPG. Again, like I said last week, though, in the episode that you may or may not hear, you know, we'll probably put it up double with this one, but like I said then, if you're an RPG fan, and I mean, that's really what Dragon or what Game of Thrones kind of hinges on, if you are a big RPG fan, it's worth your attention. If you're not an RPG fan, or if you're only a casual RPG fan, like if your idea of a hardcore RPG is The Witcher, do not play Game of Thrones. Because it is expressly a hardcore RPG. The combat system is not designed for casual players, it is designed for people who play RPGs. So, you know, fairly warned. But moving on, speaking of RPGs, I did take the plastic off of, and I did play about 45 minutes or an hour of Dragon's Dogma.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion of it is mixed to positive so far. You know, it's kind of, I can't say I'm disappointed, because I didn't really know what to expect other than what I played in the demo. And the first bit of the game is the demo, so, you know, there's that. But I'm not sure what I think of the pawn system. I almost think it's a little overwhelming. I almost think that there's too much going on around you that you're not really a part of. And everything is just so chaotic and so erratic that it gets really hard to babysit them when you're in the midst of fighting.
Oh, God, I hate micromanagement in games.
It's not even micromanagement. It's just, like you can't really micromanage it because it almost feels more like an action game. But, okay, picture something like, you know, something, a fast-paced action game like, say, Devil May Cry or God of War with four other people that you have no control over running around and chatting chattering on repeatedly while you're trying to fight something. You know, like, it's kind of, it's really chaotic. It's really, really, it's hard to get a grasp on.
I just started thinking about Brute Force and now I'm going to cry.
That said, I mean, like, that aspect of it hasn't really appealed to me. And it is a little rough around the edges. Like, the textures are not really what I'd call great. It's kind of blotchy looking at times. You know, like early PlayStation 3 era or Xbox 360 era. But at the same time, there's a certain kind of feel to the game. It's just, it's classic, traditional, you know, hardcore Dungeons and Dragons fantasy. It's not, it doesn't have anything that really differentiates it in terms of, like, steampunkish elements or overtly wacky Japanese-looking armor or, you know, like it looks like, you know, a classic Dungeons and Dragons campaign right down to the most finite little detail. It just, it looks like old-school, unapologetic Lord of the Rings-derived fantasy, which is great.
With a rock soundtrack.
With a J-Rock soundtrack. Because it's a Capcom game, it has to have J-Rock.
Yeah.
But other than that, it also kind of reminds me, like, the exploration aspect of it, the way the world is set up, the way your character controls, and just the general kind of feel of the exploration. It reminds me a lot of a Monster Hunter game, which is not an entirely bad thing. It's so far so good, you know. I'm sure I'll have more detailed thoughts next week when I spend some more time with it. But right now, you know, it's not the most technically accomplished game in the world, and it's not the most user-friendly title in the world, but it's pretty good, and it looks like it's a pretty deep experience. I took a thumb through the strategy guide. It looks pretty detailed. It looks like there's a lot of items and all that kind of stuff. So it looks like something, when I do get into it, when I do crack that shell, I think it'll be a game that I really enjoy.
Yeah. And, man, I just keep seeing video footage and screenshots of some of the bigger monsters you come across.
Oh, some of it.
And I mean, some of it, like, it looks like Dark Souls crossed with Monster Hunter.
Yeah, and that's...
That excites me, right?
That's a really good way to look at it, actually. And that is kind of almost the feel of it, too, because it does have that, I can't say slower pace, but that almost methodical feel to the exploration and stuff.
Measured is what I call Dark Souls.
Yeah, measured. Yeah, there you go. Measured. It does have that measured feel to it. And it does definitely, like, the controls, like the combat system and stuff, does feel like they definitely borrowed a little bit here and there from Dark Souls.
Not quite as polished, though.
No. Nowhere near. And not as detailed as Dark Souls. Like, there's not as much attention to detail as there is in Dark Souls. But, yeah, so far, you know, like, I'm reserved, but I'd probably put it, I think I said the same thing about Game of Thrones last week. You know, it's a solid 7. And that's about where I'd stack it. I'd probably put a 7, 7.5. You know, it's not far from horrible. It's not a bad game. It's not poorly executed. It's not, I think Joystick called it, a 30-hour drudge. It's not. Wow. It's definitely not that. It definitely isn't. But I could see people, like, especially if you don't really know what you're getting into.
You get to fight a chimera the size of a bus.
Yeah,
that's not a drudge.
That's not a drudge. But, like, I could see people who don't really know what they're getting into, and again, non-RPG fans, I could see being really frustrated with it. Definitely. The other big one was also what Mr. Mercer's been into. I did pick up and play a chunk of Ghost Recon Future Soldier, or Grips.
See how I like that? That's good, man.
I'm going to put it out there right now. Best third-person military shooter of this generation so far. Absolutely freaking fantastic opening level in the single-player campaign. Like, mind-bogglingly amazing. And the way it keeps mixing up the gameplay, like, while you play, like, the way it keeps kind of throwing new things at you, just really, really freaking cool. Like, the first mission alone, you had, like, a stealth section, an all-out action section, you know, a kind of...
I got stuck at that stealth section forever.
The stealth section was pretty brutal, and I really liked how to handle it. It didn't feel like Metal Gear, you know, it didn't feel like you were avoiding cones of vision and stuff. It felt like you really had to kind of, you had to take a measured approach.
Man, I treated it like Metal Gear at first, and I spent 30 minutes without even taking out one person.
Did you see the first escort section yet?
No.
Oh my god, it was awesome.
No, because I've been, as soon as I popped in, of course, the invitations started coming in from game mode.
Yeah, no, the first escort section, you get to the end of that mission, and you get to the guy you're trying to rendezvous with, and you've got to get him out of there.
Yeah.
You, like, with him in kind of a straight arm, like, you've got his arm, hold of his arm with your arm, and it's kind of like an arm bar, and you've got your handgun out, and you're dragging him behind you, and you're picking off guys as they come over walls and stuff. Talk about intense, man. Really, really cool. Really cool. I was blown away with it. And the opening, I love how the opening kind of twists on you twice, you know, like, you see the stereotypical starts off inside the armored personnel carrier, and then shit goes down from there, and then more shit goes down, and I was just like, what is going on? Really, really cool. And I like the storyline. I'm really digging the story. Which, yeah, I mean, I kind of like the techno thriller, you know, the whole Tony Scott military thriller storyline that they put in most of the games anyway. But I'm really digging it so far. I'm really digging it how the story is told. And then, of course, there's the multiplayer. I booted it up at first, and the first thing I did was go into the multiplayer options, and I felt that they had completely gouged it from what they had in Gratu. None of the customizable maps are there, none of the customizable, like, game types. I mean, you know, John, I think you were in a few multiplayer games with us in Gratu, weren't you?
Yeah, like, all snipers.
Yeah, climbing around hills in Africa, overlooking a plane crash, you know, with sniper rifles, and... The Spanish fort at midnight with no night vision, pistols only, stuff like this, you know. We had a lot of fun with Graal. We had a lot of, like, cool little custom...
I mean, we were basically turning it into paintball.
Yeah, yeah, we had a lot of little, like, custom scenarios, custom game types. None of that is in Future Soldier. None. Zero, zip, nada, zilch, butt kiss, none. There is no customization whatsoever in the multiplayer, which kind of rotted me. It does take a more SOCOM / Call of Duty approach to the multiplayer. But the game modes that are there are flexible, and, like, there's a lot of variety, like, especially conflict, how they keep changing up the objectives and stuff. It's almost like a Killzone 2, Killzone 3 approach where the game type changes in mid-match.
Did you play the one yet where they give each team three objectives?
Decoy.
Only one objective is real.
Yeah, decoy was good. And guerrilla mode, man, talk about intense.
Yeah, it's like, first, I started playing the multiplayer, and I could picture someone at Ubisoft going, man, bots ain't nothing. Fuck bots. Fuck them. And then I started playing guerrilla mode, and I myself were going around with them, man, horde mode ain't nothing. Fuck locust. Fuck monsters.
Yeah, no, I gotta say, we got into a game the other night, myself and String Vulture and Marius Von Doom hit up Gorilla. We played on this African airstrip map, and you start off, and I love how you had to go take the objective before you could hold it. So you go in, you stealthily kill the four or five guys who are there, and then the waves start coming. And we got up to wave 17 of 50. on just that one map, and that was probably about 2 hours, 2.5 hours of gameplay, and it was just getting absolutely brutal. But man, we had so much fun. It was so intense.
Yeah, they're clever, aren't they?
Yeah.
The way they come in. Yeah.
Just the scenario changed. Like, you know, we got to, I think, wave 11, and then the base that we were defending changed to another location. We had to go take it again, and then hold that location. And then every second or third round, this big crazy sandstorm would blow in where you couldn't see anything, and it was just so awesome. It was so ridiculously well executed.
Yeah, I heard the map I was playing on. I think I only got up to about wave 9 before I had to turn it off. But I have heard that eventually in the upper waves in that level, you eventually start getting gunships.
Oh, see, we had a few APCs. That's the most we saw. We had two.
No, like you got helicopters dropping supplies, but then you got during the enemy wave, you got guys circling, like gunships circling, shooting at you.
Nice, very nice. But yeah, it was great, and I mean, I think it has the potential to be just as much of a hallmark for us, or just as much of a stalwart as Gra 2 was.
I was really worried, man, about the cloaking too, the optic camouflage.
Beautifully handled.
Yeah, very beautifully handled. Yeah. Like I didn't notice at first because when I was popping up, I was always going to iron sights, right?
Okay, yeah.
But I noticed. I was playing with Marius and Codlaker.
Yep.
And I noticed whenever Codlaker jump up to take a shot at someone, your camo turns off.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, when you, like, if you make too rapid a movement.
Oh, yeah.
It can't keep up with you.
Stay still, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I think you've actually got to go to the crouch before it even turns on.
Yeah, and you have to stay stationary for like a few seconds before it'll pick up your surroundings and actually turn on,
yeah,
which is really cool. And also, I should mention too, like rather than the kill streaks and shit like that, like they have in Call of Duty, the cheap ass stuff that I despise, the wave streaks they have in Guerrilla Mode are absolutely fantastic. Have you seen any of those?
I love the combos.
Yeah,
we had a guy last night. Brian took out Buddy's legs, and as he was falling forward, I shot him in the face. And we both got double points for that.
Nice. And you get stuff like the Predator drone and all of that stuff. Of course, you get the missile strikes and airstrikes and stuff. But
yeah, eventually, don't you get a four-legged tank?
The Warhound, I think it's called, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like about the somewhere between the size of a large dog and a Buick.
Yeah, you can basically use it as a mobile cover / mortar launcher.
Yeah, I saw that in one of the video reviews. I was like, holy shit! Holy shit, Black Ops 2 ain't nothing!
I hope that the Activision guys are taking notes, man. Because I think Black Ops 2 just got owned before it even came out.
Yeah. You guys just got served.
I think so.
I did notice that not quite as much stuff with the cross cam this time.
No, they've kind of made it more, I think, integral to the game now. Like, you got your holographic HUD and all that.
That's what I was thinking, because I think this one's like 10 or 15 years after Advanced Warfighter, so
yeah.
Maybe it's just like the technology has become, it's more implemented into their, into the military routine now.
Yeah, it's the 2020s, I think, is when it takes place.
So, I'm still dreaming of the, when they realize, it, like, they start treating it like, you know, the Marvel Universe and, like, the Clancyverse. So it seems like I can't wait for, you know, you to, for the ghost to get pinned down and get saved by, like, an airstrike from Team Hawks.
They did that with Ghost Recon 2, actually.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. There were missions in Hawks that were basically the air equivalent of some of the ground missions in Ghost Recon 2.
Yeah, or you having to escort a CIA or military advisor and have that turn out to be, like, someone from third echelon.
That'd be cool. That would be cool. I know a few of the names at the beginning, not to spoil anything, but a few of the names at the beginning of the game in that little opening scenario, I believe were some of the party members from Advanced Warfighter.
And I do believe that the guy who gives you your missions actually is Captain Mitchell.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't know because I only heard him refer to him as, like, military jargon.
Yeah.
You know what else is awesome about the game?
No Oscar Mike?
I have not heard the phrase Oscar Mike yet.
Oscar Mike or Danger Close? I haven't heard Danger Close yet either.
Danger Close I'm not so bad with, but Oscar Mike is just, it's been done. It's been played.
Yeah. Is Kevin asleep yet?
I think so.
What? What? Hello?
Where are my false teeth?
I was having such a wonderful dream.
I think that's
Are you guys finished talking about War of Duty, Sand Fighter, Modern Soldier yet?
That's that one Medal of Honor Frontline. That's the one, right? Man, that's an awesome game.
You is about to embark upon the Great Crusade.
That's right, man.
Yeah, Future Soldier definitely very high right now on my best of 2012 list.
Yeah. And that's okay. You got that coming from a guy who is intimately familiar with these, you know, the Tom Clancy style military shooter.
Yeah.
And then you got me, who's the noob.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm loving it too. It's really, really open ended.
And I mean, a year ago, dude, when I saw that first gameplay demo at E3.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, what are they doing? Oh, like, it just looked so bad.
What was it originally called?
I believe it was Future Warrior.
Okay.
Blah. But yeah, no, when I first saw that first gameplay demo, man, it was like a shoreline, and they fought a hind at one point, and they were using the cloak to sneak around and stuff. It just looked so dry and so dull and just cheesy. But after the last one last year, when they showed the African village or whatever it was, and then you saw that they pulled the Splinter Cell Conviction, they tore it down and built it back up, which is why it took so damn long to release it.
Kind of what they're doing with the Rainbow Six Patriots.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a case of like a Miyamoto flip. I think this is Ubisoft's MO now. There's no such thing as bad publicity. You get people to take a look and say, man, that game looks like shit, and then they show you the real thing after.
Well, no, I think what happened with Conviction was they basically, Conviction's model was Assassin's Creed.
So they cannibalized themselves.
Yeah, but then when Assassin's Creed came out, and, you know, like, some of the people kind of were less than responsive to it, I think what they did with Conviction was they went back to the drawing board and kind of said, well, you know what, we're doing this, but it's not really working that well. The levels are kind of dull.
We're turning it into Hitman.
Yeah, you know, so they went back and Conviction was the end result. But, I mean, essentially, you can tell when you look at early stage versus later stage Conviction or Future Soldier, you can tell that they went right back to square one. And basically, the reason the games took so damn long to come out was because they were rebuilt sometime during development, right? I mean, what we saw 2 years ago when they showed that first gameplay demo at E3, that's not the game we got this week. That's not the same title that was released this week.
Answer a question for me?
Yep.
The fuck are the rings of Saturn around the barrel of the gun?
That's like the holographic HUD or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it just shows basically orientation of the weapons and stuff for 60.
Yeah, like I looked up in the sky earlier today to throw a sensor. I was like, whoa, what the hell is that? Great big, like, objective marker scrawled in black.
Yeah, I like too how they have, like, well, that's something they definitely took from Conviction, is you see, like, the locations and stuff like that just kind of plastered in midair over buildings, and it works really well. It's really cool. It's really stylish, really snazzy. That's enough out of me about Ghost Recon Love. Let's leave it at, it's you know, it's a 9. It's a 9.5. The game that had to shit its pants something sick right now to drop.
There'd have to be handlebar mustaches and several nuclear devices.
And let's move on to Mr. Orange.
Oh, well, all right. Enough of this military razzmatazz.
Kevin, if you haven't been playing Sorcery, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I haven't, actually.
I tried to get him to buy it this evening.
I was like, Kevin,
you should buy Sorcery. We'll go back, get your move.
We'll go get the ice cream cone, and you can be a wizard.
You know, I'll probably end up picking that up, you know, once it hits the bargain bins in a year's time.
Rich-ass actor. Spend some money.
I've been playing... What have I been playing? I've been attempting to play Diablo 3. Fair bit of it.
I forgot about Diablo 3.
It's alright, we're talking about what I've been playing now.
Yeah, you go ahead.
But I keep getting error 3007.
Son of a bitch.
Like, I'll play for maybe 25 minutes and then get booted from the server, and it's pissing me off. Because I love the game.
Mainly because you're so addicted to it.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, I only get to play for like a half hour at a time. And, like, I'll restart once, but once I get booted again, that's it. I go do something else. I turn it off. And if it was a game that you didn't have to play online, man, I would not have this problem. Sucks. Anyway, Diablo 3, Love it. Reminds me of everything I love about Diablo, which is great. Playing as Witch Doctor. It's a lot of fun. I did play some Dragon's Dogma this evening.
Yay!
Played about an hour of it, I guess.
You played more of it than I did.
I did, yeah.
What are you playing as?
I am on the fence. Right now, it's not a game that I would pick up full price. I'd pick up Kingdoms of Amalur first.
Kingdoms of Amalur is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm really on the fence about it, man. The interface I find really clunky. I don't know. I'm really undecided. I'd have to play a bit more, but I mean, I got to that certain point, and you know, I was told to go do something, and I had no idea how to do it or any hint on how to do it, and I got pissed off and turned it off.
Thank you, Japan. That's Japanese RPG playing at work is what that is.
Yeah.
How did you play so much Morrowind? If you can't stand not being told how to do something.
Well, the way Morrowind was, you could figure it out. Like
I'm sure you could figure out Dragon's Dogma.
I was a young man when Morrowind came out. I had imagination.
You weren't ruined by Skyrim and Oblivion with their objective markers.
There are objective markers in Dragon's Dogma, but just this particular thing, it wasn't showing me anything. Anyway.
We're going to get Kevin play Monster Hunter.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go over here now and get the oh, goddamn dinosaur!
I like RPGs. Come on, guys. I'm not a dummy. I enjoy RPGs an awful lot. You know this.
I know you know
this.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'm on the fence Dragon's Dogma, and I really wanted to like it, because I'd been looking at you know, videos before it came out. I was like, man, that looks cool. Anyway, I'll give it a shot once it's reduced in price, probably, at some point, like I usually do.
Mm-hmm. You still haven't done with Vanquish?
That's right, yeah.
Disappoint.
I did pick up, speaking of things that are reduced, I picked up Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I'm so behind the times, man.
You're the reason game companies go out of business.
Yeah, probably. I haven't opened it yet, but I'm excited to. And I played a bit of Journey this evening as well.
Woo!
My God. That game company hits it out of the park every time they touch a game.
They do.
You know? I mean, they've only made a couple, but every one's been gorgeous. Journey had me... I was completely enthralled. I went from being a bit pissed off with Dragon's Dogma, I put on Journey, and I felt like I was... You know? High as a kite by then. What an awesome game. I definitely gotta pick that up for sure. For sure. Oh, and there's one other game that I've been playing. it's an iOS game. I'm playing it on my iPad, and it's called Corpse Craft. And it is pretty awesome. It's essentially a, like, RTS tower defense game, one of those type of hybrids, where you're sending your troops against somebody else, and they're sending their troops back at you. But it's all done in the style of, like, Edward Gorey illustrations. And it's kind of got this kind of...
Okay, now, you got to explain to the non-artsy people among us who Edward Gorey is.
Oh, sure. Google it. I'm not going to explain that. Something called Google. Just Google it. That way, I'm not going to explain the illustrations.
That Grim Reaper with the umbrella is awesome.
The what?
I just Googled Edward Gorey.
Okay, cool. Well, imagine a game with that art style, right? It's really cool. It's made by Three Rings, the guys that did Puzzle Pirates. So on top of the cool design, it's essentially the way you gather resources to build your troops is by playing a little match 3 puzzle at the bottom of the screen, which is kind of cool. And I'm really digging it, kind of addicted to it. It's a good game. Worth checking out. Nice story. In between each mission, there's like a little, you know, poem that you read all about this little war happening between the kids and all that kind of stuff. And the characters are really neat as well. That gets 2 thumbs up for me. I'm not on the fence about that one.
No?
Nope.
Nope.
Not in the least. So that's what I've been playing. Nothing that you guys are interested in.
Hey, that's not true. Journey was awesome.
So I've been playing a bit of Graw.
woo!
You haven't been playing Graw.
No, fuck that.
If you had an Xbox, I'd loan you mine and say, here, play this shit.
Nah.
And you get
he'd have to buy a 2-liter Mountain Dew, though, before he could play Graw. Slam that back.
Big bag of Cheetos.
Dude, he get halfway through the first level, and the helicopter pilot...
This is the hardest,
okay,
shittiest game.
You've got to get here now, and you got to do this, and Kevin be like...
If you squint, it's like you're shooting witches. Now that'd be a D&D campaign for the ages.
I have actually played some third-person shooters.
I know. Well, hey, you play Uncharted.
That's not a shooter, dude. That's a fire in this direction.
Well, no.
Hopefully you'll shoot enough bullets to kill
Uncharted
somebody.
Uncharted 1 and 2 were not shooters.
Uncharted 3 is the same goddamn way. We talked about this last week.
Uncharted 3 is a shooter.
I shot a guy twice in the face and twice in the groin. You know what I had to do? Go up and punch him before he died. All right? That game is broken, and it pisses me off.
I don't think it's broken, man. Okay, Kevin, you like comic books.
Yeah.
Imagine Nathan Drake is actually Adam Smasher. And he's going and punching them with his atomic fists.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Why would you want to shoot people if you have atomic fists? Imagine Nathan Drake is Shatterhand.
Okay, the reason I want to shoot them is because there's 40 of them. And they all have guns.
That's a good enough reason.
Yeah. Anyway, move on. Move on, enough talk.
Now we do the news.
Now it's action.
News time. Release news. The Street Fighter 25th Anniversary Edition box set.
Woo!
Hits on September 25th of this year. Have you guys seen this?
Oh my god. I would even buy that.
I want it.
It's like $150.
Even though I already have all the games that are in it.
It comes with like...
It comes with like four games or three games.
No, it's more than that, dude.
It's Street Fighter 3 Online.
Yeah.
Which is on PSN, which I have. Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD, or Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, which is on PSN, which I have.
Yeah.
The Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't have.
Which I don't have, and I don't necessarily want.
No, honestly, I think they attained perfection with Super Street Fighter 4.
And, well, the only thing about the arcade is it's got Yun and Yang in it, though.
Yeah, but they nerfed the shit out of everyone else.
They released a new patch for it recently, apparently, that fixes.
Oh, did, okay, so Cammy can actually do damage again now?
I guess. And it has Street Fighter X Tekken.
Okay.
But the thing about X Tekken and Super 4 is they've got all the costumes. All the costumes and stuff are already unlocked.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
That is
actually, I believe Cross Tekken's actually got all the characters on it, too.
No, it's just the costumes.
Okay.
It's just the variety costumes. But it's those as well as like a 12-disc soundtrack or something.
Mm-hmm.
Some crazy, ridiculous number of soundtrack discs. Plus, it's got Street Fighter 2V, the entire series.
Right.
I don't know if is it Street Fighter 2V or is it the American Street Fighter animated series?
Please tell me it's V.
I hope it's V, but I have a feeling it's the American series.
Because the only thing that the American series ever had was that M Boys and Yes thing, and I can look that up on YouTube.
But yeah, it's got a Street Fighter animated series.
Right.
It's got the Street Fighter 4 animated movie, which is basically just cut together out of the scenes that were... Or no, it's the one that came with the Collector's Edition of Street Fighter 4. Which
Horrible,
was it?
No!
And it comes with Alpha and Alpha Generations, which were both garbage. And it has the original Street Fighter 2 animated movie.
Right.
Which was great.
Okay.
But I think they're all on Blu-ray. They're all, like, enclosed on Blu-ray discs, but they're encoded from DVD. They're not. It's not Blu-ray encoded, so they're not in high def.
Right.
And it comes with a really awesome light-up Ryu statue.
And a belt.
And a Ryu belt, yeah, which is pretty badass.
Which would go awesome with my headband.
Oh, man. Imagine, like, you sit down and play Street Fighter, you know, 4 with your buddies, you know, and it's your turn. I'd take out the belt and put it on first.
And what's kind of cool about it is it's an actual regulation black belt.
Is it really?
It's an actual regulation, like, karate black belt.
Don't wear that out.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like a cheap. It's not like the Ryu headband.
Right.
It's not like zombie flesh.
Yeah. No. Exactly. It's not cheap, shitty Capcom, you know, promo giveaway swag.
Right.
See. Anyway,
it's actually got the. I don't know. I can't remember what word it is. The thing that what's on Ryu's belt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty badass looking. It retails for $149.99, and it will probably be mine.
And a certificate of authenticity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's a limited edition. So, pre-order now, folks. Right now. This instant. Go. Run. Don't walk. To your local games outlet. to your local video game emporium.
That statue is awesome, man.
In completely different, unrelated news, NBA 2K13 hits on October 2nd.
Yay.
Dead Island Game of the Year Edition hits on June 26th. Who the fuck gave this Game of the Year? Nobody, that's who. XCOM.
No, people gave it Game of the Year the first week it was out.
Yeah, okay.
After 5 days when we all, you know, stopped drinking and came to our goddamn senses.
XCOM Enemy Unknown hits on October 9th. That's the real-time or pseudo-real-time strategy version. 007 Legends launches on October 16th. Have you seen the trailer for this, Chad?
No, but I want to watch it.
It looks awesome. It's six classic James Bond.
Dude, listen, this week I made the decision to spend another $200 on James Bond movies.
But what they did, they took six classic James Bond films and gave them the same treatment that they gave GoldenEye last year.
Okay.
So they're basically retelling them with Daniel Craig or whatever. The only one they've shown so far is Moonraker, and it looked awesome. It looked really, really cool.
Of all the Roger Moore ones, why did they pick Moonraker?
But man, what they've done, they've really modernized it. You know, like they've made it more of a, you know, modern James Bond story type of thing. And I'm curious to see what other ones they pick.
Yeah, but like, okay, consider this. If Roger Moore could be stone cold enough to kick a car off the side of a cliff,
yeah,
what would Daniel Craig do? Probably kill, like, break the guy's wife's neck.
Set the car on fire and then kick it off the cliff.
No, he'd also have to kill Buddy's mistress and push her into the car.
Yeah, and his dog.
And his dog.
Yeah.
And burn his damn house down.
Other fighting game news, Tekken Tag Tournament 2 hits worldwide on September 10th. That also has a really snazzy-looking, swaggy collector's edition. I'm still on the fence with that one. In DLC news, Mass Effect Rebellion, the multiplayer expansion, which includes two new environments and a bunch of classes for different races or something, hits your favorite console's download service on May 29th of this year. Delays abound.
Oh, man.
We are
so
into
many.
The season of delays. Aliens, Colonial Marines, Ninja Theory's Devil May Cry reboot, and South Park, the RPG, have joined Bioshock Infinite and Tomb Raider in early 2013. 2K's XCOM shooter has been moved out of the first quarter of 2013 into TBD status. Is that new? I want TBD!
Maybe TBD is going to be some DLC.
Maybe they're all getting 3D conversions.
I hope there's a collector's edition of TBD. With like a hardcover art book.
Yeah, a really nice one.
Yeah, and a statue that lights up.
Yeah.
And a belt. Keep my pants on.
And shitty anime. TBD, the shitty anime.
Sega apparently are publishing Ron Gilbert's Double Fine game, The Cave.
This looks so good.
It does.
Which, yeah, it actually looks pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
In, you know, a Lost Vikings sort of way. And will be available in, guess it, guys, early 2013.
Woo!
On PSN, Xbox Live, and PC.
We'll actually have something to play in early 2013.
Yeah, man, I was starting to look like it was going to be a dry couple months.
Yeah. I was looking at the character classes and stuff for it yesterday. It actually looks really cool.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You know, you pick from a knight and a time traveler.
That's cool.
And each of them have access to their own, like, exclusive parts of the cave.
I wonder if they've got, like, a liquor store built into the same building at Double Fine Studios.
I'm thinking they...
Because there's definitely some absinthe going on in there.
I think it's next to a crack den myself.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Tim Schafer can say all he wants about, you know, he saw a road sign that said Fine Doubled or Double Fine.
Yeah.
I think that was the ranking on the sweet ganja he bought the first day in the office.
Right next door is Crazy Willy's Wiggly Cracking Porn.
That shit be double fine.
Double fine.
Bethesda is continuing to roll out some features for Skyrim with their next update. by adding mounted combat, which is pretty awesome.
Mounted combat!
PC beta version will be patched in for Steam users this week. Console versions coming Soonish.
Did we get the update that lets you suplex people yet?
No, I don't think
so.
That
I'm aware of.
There was one that had new kill cams.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that had suplexes.
It had the unearned. Did it have unearned kill cams?
I don't
know. Yeah, I think. I saw
your copy back to you since then.
Oh, yeah, so you did. Did it come out for PS3 or was it just for 360?
Oh, maybe it was just 360.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't own 360.
You suck. All right. This one is undoubtedly the big one for this week. This is a long one, so bear with me.
Hold on, I'm going to go to the washroom.
If you didn't listen to last week's episode, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but we've got more 38 Studios drama. The latest, all the employees across 38 Studios and Big Huge Games have been laid off. The state of Rhode Island has reported that Reckoning, the awesome RPG from Kurt Schilling's Dream Team, has been deemed a failure, even with 1.2 million units sold. Reports say, or actually I can't even say reports, but the state of Rhode Island's consulting experts have said that the game would have had to sell 3 million copies to break even. The studio has been pretty quiet, and we personally feel, I know I'm pretty sure I can speak for both you, Mr. Mercer, and you, Mr. Woolrich,
mm-hmm.
that this is one of the absolute shittiest developments of the year.
Yeah.
Not me, man. Fuck Amalur.
Oh!
38 deserves much better. It deserves your respect. And you know what? I'm kind of crestfallen. I like, when the game came out, I mean, yeah, I was caught up in the hype, and I love the game. I think it's a great game. I think it's an absolutely fantastic game. And just to see Schilling on all the doing the rounds and the talk shows and stuff like that at the time, like popping up on Jimmy Fallon and popping up on Conan O'Brien, you know, and the guy's asking him all these baseball questions, and he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And then when they start talking about Amalur, you just see that little fire light up in his eyes. This was something he really cared about, man.
Yeah.
This was something he really wanted to do. You know, this was something that, like, he worked goddamn hard at getting off the ground, you know? And it sucks that it's imploding in such glamorous fashion. Just in, I just saw this about 5 seconds before we started recording. Apparently, the state of Rhode Island reneged on $8 million in tax breaks to the studio because 38 Studios was not originally incorporated in Rhode Island. No fucking shit. The company existed for about a year before they set up their studio in Rhode Island because they were told they'd get tax breaks.
Yeah.
After cutting off payroll to make their first $1.25 million payment, the company was denied the tax credit that was earmarked to pay employees and continue moving forward. According to some of the internal employees, there were publishing deals already in place and ready to go. So, basically, they were lied to by state government, which is, you know, freaking awesome. Things look very grim indeed for what was, just 3 months ago, the most promising new developer in the game. Either way, it's likely that Reckoning is going to be in my top five come the end of the year, and probably the first and last Kingdoms of Amalur game we see, which to me is just fucking weak.
And lame.
And lame.
Agreed. That company's sunk, man. Cement shoes.
Sadness.
It's very sad.
Your dirty lips. You need a bath. Not the bath, big boy. Not the bath.
Oh, God.
In lighter, happier, shinier news, The Shadow of the Colossus film, still in the works, has found its director. Josh Trank, the director of the recent found footage superhero film, Chronicle. Actually, I don't even know what you could call it, a superhero film.
Super villain, more so.
Yeah. You know, you want to see what happens when you've got great power without great responsibility?
Yeah, when a bunch of high school kids find out that they can kill with a thought.
That was supposed to be really good as well. I've heard, like,
But let me tell you something. The minute those kids found out that they had psionic powers or whatever they've got, somebody should have lined up all their favorite uncles and bam, bullet in the back of the fucking head. Okay? And you could have saved him, Timmy. You could have saved him.
So he's,
you know what, but
he's directing?
This just in about this, though. The Blast Processing crew are going to be co-writing the screenplay to Shadow of the Colossus.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
In our dreams.
Aww.
Oh, wah, wah.
Thanks a lot. You wrote that, didn't you, Steve?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I was already picturing Mark Wahlberg as Wander.
I was picturing, you know, like, kind of half...
How are they going to do found footage in a world without video cameras?
I was picturing...
Wander has gone off with the princess's corpse, and he's stolen a scrying stone.
A crystal bat.
I was picturing in my mind, you know, almost something a little artsy. You know, like a Terrence Malick cross with the fountain. Like, well, the medieval parts of the fountain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? The Spanish conquistador section of the fountain.
I can see that. Just,
please, God, somebody give them $50 million to invest into Colossus technology.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because, you know, if I wanted to watch a low-budget, great big monster thing, I'll just watch Troll Hunter.
Troll Hunter was pretty awesome.
I like
it. It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Troll! So, more optimistic news. Diablo 3 has become the most successful piece. I'm not going to say successful. I'm going to say financially successful. PC launch. I'll start over. Diablo 3 has become the most financially successful PC launch of all time. There were 6 million copies in the wild.
4 million of those players have not been able to access the game.
I am not one of them. I haven't been kicked yet.
Well, that's good. I'm happy for you.
No, you're not. You're jealous.
I am jealous.
Man, you know, maybe that's what 38 Studios was missing. Maybe they should have called Kingdoms of Amalur Diablo 3. Diablo 3, you snooze, you lose.
Yep, yep.
They would have been sued.
That's true. What a great game, though. Mm-hmm.
BioWare Austin, the guys behind Star Wars The Old Republic, have seen a cut in staff following subscriber drop-offs. BioWare assures us that the game is successful and development still continues. There have been a wealth of new areas and features added since launch, so it does seem like business as usual. Thankfully, they're in Austin, not Rhode Island.
Man, they just need to change the name of that genre from MMORPG to WoW.
See, I think... what we're witnessing right now is basically the large-scale death of the MMO market.
Yeah.
I really think, like what is anybody playing anymore?
WoW.
But even WoW has dropped off. WoW has gone below, has dipped below 10 million now.
But just below 10 million. Yeah. I don't think it's going anywhere for a while.
But yeah. Well, no, it's not that they're dying, but it's just like every new release that comes out now is just kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
You know, like Terra launched last week and there was a big uproar over Terra before it came out, and then it hit, and it was like, meh.
Do you think it's possible, even in this day and age, that we could see a video game bust or crash?
Oh, definitely.
Like the Great Crash.
Definitely. Man, yeah. We're kind of witnessing it now.
Yeah.
Like,
games cost a fortune.
A game that sold 1.2 million copies only to see the studio collapse 3 months later.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, there it is right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening, man. I mean, and people are dividing their attention between one or two properties that just keep cycling out shit year after year after year, and everything else is just getting buried.
You know what we're going to need? We're going to need Nintendo.
No.
They got us out of the last one. They're going to get us out of this one, maybe.
I have no faith in that happening. All those people who made Nintendo what they are either dead or moved on.
Yeah, the Wii U's coming out, though, man. It could be our savior, our great white messiah.
Well, let's just look at it, man. Miyamoto has gone insane.
Yeah, Miyamoto has lost his goddamn mind.
Yokoi is dead. So okay, there's Batman and Robin gone right now. Or, you know, Nintendo's world's fun is Superman and Batman. Right? They're gone.
They're out there like Pluto.
Okay, Miyamoto's not the same person he was.
I think Miyamoto has been replaced by an imposter. I think they pulled a Paul McCartney.
What do you mean Paul McCartney?
The whole thing about Paul McCartney back in 1969 when he was supposedly killed in a car accident.
I am Michael Jackson. The real Michael Jackson. So, the Infinity Ward Activision brouhaha. I love that word.
That word's like, brouhaha! You're going to miss my brouhaha!
My tangoing! my blind driving.
My hoo-ha.
You said that already. I say it a lot. So the brouhaha has brought details on Bungie's first big outing for Activision to light. Project Destiny. I saw a sci-fi movie once where something called Project Destiny nearly blew up the world. I think it was The Core, and that makes me sad. Project Destiny will bow first on Xbox 360 in 2013. Oh, God, no, not 2013. With a one-year exclusive window and sequels laid out as one would expect. No big surprises outside of the exclusivity. Being contract details, as revealed in a court document, we're sure these things can change.
I'm sure they've already changed.
Yeah.
Because this has to do with the whole West Zampella Infinity Ward, you know, their contract with Activision and how they were fighting for
Wake Project Games. Icebreaker.
Yeah, Project Icebreaker. So I have a feeling that this contract was basically just brought up to kind of show the courts what kind of deals Activision was offering to studios.
Yeah. Hmm. Infinity Ward have made their move. Unleash the tech ninjas.
We must tell them we're fumigating the offices so we can hack their XORs, their emails.
So we got some Kickstarter news this week. Republic from new Seattle startup Camouflage.
Republic?
Yep. They're featuring talent who've worked on Metal Gear Solid series and the Fear games. Has passed the 500,000 goal that allows the addition of voice talent royalty David Hayter and Jennifer Hale to the proceedings. Kickstarter! Woo!
So it was $50,000 to get David Hayter, $50,000 to get Jennifer Hale, and another $400,000 for whiskey and cigarettes to get David Hayter his voice.
The game actually sounds really cool.
I don't know anything about it.
It's it all starts off with you receiving a phone call from a chick named Hope.
Right.
Who is being, like, watched by Big Brother or something, and she calls you from a stolen cell phone, and, you know, it just kind of unravels from there. It's like the whole conspiracy and, like, Big Brother is watching 1984 kind of shit.
Interesting.
It actually looks pretty cool, and, well, Jennifer Hale's awesome. And so is
somebody,
David.
This sounds like King of Eden. Text message. Colonel, what the hell is going on?
Somebody posted something recently, and this is only because he said stolen phone. Somebody had stolen their iPhone. This is a little off topic.
Okay.
And but they were taking pictures with the iPhone, but of course that was still updating the photo stream of the owner, right? So the owner posted all the photos to Facebook.
Yep.
With little captions underneath them, making up little stories about who this person is and everything, right? And the person was actually a worker on a Disney cruise line. And was wearing a name tag and everything, right? So she was like posting stuff going, oh, this is Nelson, da da da. This is Nelson's girlfriend. These are the people he worked with. This is a picture that he took of whatever. It was pretty funny. Anyway, look it up.
Did they get their phone back?
I don't know.
That's kind of funny.
It is funny and bizarre and creepy to watch.
Warriors.
Yeah.
See the dangers of all this LinkedIn technology.
It's very
Instagram
dangerous.
And instantly posting to Facebook and yeah. Oh,
turn that shit off, viewers, listeners. I always say viewers.
That's all right. I always say good evening, just assuming that you're going to be listening in the evening.
Yeah, that's true.
You could. Somebody just sent me a request in Zynga Bingo. Fuck you.
Oh, man.
You are now deleted from my friends list. I've exiled you from my kingdom permanently. Feed him to the Sharktacons.
Do we have any of our ancillary post news activities queued up for this week, gentlemen?
I don't think we do.
No? No retro rockets?
I don't think.
No blast points?
This is unfortunate, because this could be my final podcast for a while.
I thought you would have brought something up, Kev, to, you know, make it more special.
I don't want it to end yet.
You heck ass.
Let's take a look back at the last 25 episodes.
It hasn't been 25 episodes?
It has been. This is episode 26 or 27.
Is it really?
Yeah. 27, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time goes by so slowly.
I thought I died.
Oh, my darling.
Oh, no.
You know what? My PS3 was on the chopping block. Just for the listeners, I'm going away for work for a couple of months. And my PS3 was on the chopping block. I wasn't sure if I was even going to take it.
Hey, you have an arrangement.
What's
you got to finish Demon's Souls over summer.
I don't remember signing a contract.
That was an arrangement. That was
not an arrangement.
That was a verbal contract. That was a legally binding verbal contract.
I gotta get through the pirate ship graveyard in Uncharted 3 yet.
There's not enough bullets in that game to get you through that graveyard. You gotta start using the tomo fists.
Oh yeah, totally, man.
Your Atom Smashers.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, you were saying you were gonna.
Yes, so it was on a chopping block. But because I'm gonna have to pick up a few new games. And I've sussed out my transportation issues and how I'm getting stuff where I'm going. I am going to take it. I am. I realize, you know what? I can't live in a small community for 3 months without a PlayStation.
No.
Can't do it.
No. Definitely not.
Yeah. So it's coming with me. And I'm even going to take my PC.
Nice.
So I'll be able to play some Minecraft and hopefully some Diablo 3.
Yay! You got to buy a copy of Diablo 3 first.
Oh, that's true, because I'm getting close to the end of the guest pass. Thanks, brother, by the way, for the guest pass.
No sweat.
All you suckers out there in Radio Land.
Who can't play Diablo 3 because you're on the radio. You can listen to yourself play Diablo 3, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, they acted out like an old radio show. You know, all the computer sound effects are made by smashing pots together. And
that'd be awesome.
On this week's exciting episode of Diablo 3! We gotta work the fast talking in whenever we can.
I totally do, man. Yeah. When last we saw the Witch Doctor, he just entered the dark crypt.
This week's episode brought to you by Johnson Brand Baby Cigarettes. Smoke a while and listen.
Very nice.
You know what? If Kev is going away, I am going to fire the Retro Rockets.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
He is going away.
Fire him up.
There's a question of whether or not we're going to have Skype contact with our bro.
Yeah, you talk about bringing your PS3 with you because you can't survive in a small community all summer without it.
Oh, is this going to be like an island disc type question?
No.
Okay.
Because I've done this before. I remember going out to my grandparents' place out in Summerford, which is another small community.
Yeah.
And I used to, you know, I'd bring my Nintendo or my Super Nintendo or my PlayStation with me. Have something to do.
Yeah.
If you went out there and let's just say the weather was the shits or, you know, you were locked down the house for a while. What's a game you could always count on to get you through it?
Hmm.
What's your rainy day game?
What's your rainy day game?
So I guess it kind of is a desert island, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it totally is.
By the way. You lied to me.
You don't have a cousin Patty.
What's my rainy day game?
My daddy used to always let me keep the change.
Well, you know what? This is going to be lame. I can't believe I'm answering with this.
You're going to say Super Mario 3, aren't you?
No. But, oh, wait now. Are there any stipulations on what type of rainy day? Like,
no, let's
genre
say no.
Or
let's call this an ambush
era.
Topic and say no.
Okay.
No.
It's a blast bush topic.
You guys are going to kill me. It's Minecraft, baby.
It's Minecraft. Oh, God, I quit.
Because you can play, you know, time can just slip away, and it's so relaxed.
Okay, you know what? No, fuck it. I am gonna put a limitation on it.
No Minecraft.
No Minecraft, Heaven. This had to have occurred before you turned fucking 30.
Oh.
Before I turned 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember 15 years ago?
Oh, hold on now.
Didn't you have a Commodore 64 back then?
You're off by a little bit there. Steve had a Commodore 64.
I did. Yeah, I still do.
Nice.
Yes. It still works.
My neighbors, when I was a little kid, before I moved to the Ghouls, had a ColecoVision. I was very jealous of that.
PC's Quest for Tires.
I do have a Gemini.
Do you?
That plays Coleco games, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I think it does. I think the Gemini played the Atari and ColecoVision. That's why it was called the Gemini.
Cool. 5 years ago, when I was 30, something before I was 30, eh? I'm very bad with time, man. What was out back then?
That would have been PlayStation 2 generation.
5 years ago?
Yeah, PlayStation 2 and before, man. No, yes, no. Yeah.
How long has the PS3 been out?
2006, fall 2006.
Yeah, this is 2012, man.
Yeah. But you didn't have a PS3.
Can you just pick something that isn't Minecraft? I don't want to hear you talk about it anymore.
Pick something from the previous console or PC generation, guys.
Something from the previous console generation.
Yeah, or early.
Yeah.
My brain is like Swiss cheese.
Don't lie to me. How many times did you play Symphony of the Night?
I played a lot of that. I'm still playing it.
Die, monster!
Yeah, let's say Symphony of the Night. That's a good one. If I had to go this generation, it'd be Skyrim. Definitely. It's a rainy day game.
Yeah.
But I don't own Skyrim.
No. Why don't you own Skyrim?
Because I don't know.
The PS3 version was on sale recently.
Because I used all my money to buy Dragon's Dogma.
You know what? Actually, in this particular...
Just a second, fellas. That it's my wife calling.
Now...
I would have to say, actually, in this particular situation going out, if it was raining, I'd probably put in Batman, Arkham Asylum, or Arkham City. Because I've got so many of those Riddler trophies to find, man. Perfect rainy day activity.
Okay, how about you, John? What do you got?
I'm gonna go back to the PlayStation 1 generation.
Yay!
Okay, I have played through and finished Metal Gear Solid so many times, it's not even funny. Okay, while everyone else was playing Ocarina of Time, I was playing Metal Gear Solid. And I can remember going out to Summerford on a weekend when it was like the absolute crappiest weather you could imagine. You know, we had sleet, we had pissing down rain, it was cold. You couldn't go out in the boat, you couldn't.
Couldn't go on the quad.
Oh shit, did my accent just slip? I sat down and I played through Metal Gear Solid like two or three times. You know, nobody was coming around, the weather was so shitty, so there were no visitors or anything, so I visited some old friends on Shadow Moses Island.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. And I deliberately tried to get a couple of the different, you remember when you see the code name rankings when you finish the game?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I wanted to, in this one weekend, I wanted to get the one where you get where you don't kill anyone, and the one that you get when you kill everything, which should be Adam Jensen.
It should be, yeah.
Kevin Jensen.
Master Chief.
Because he killed everybody.
You didn't ask for this bullet in the head.
Oh, sorry, Sid, I didn't mean to hit you with an iPad.
Tell me about your rainy day games, Steve.
My rainy day games are both Super Nintendo.
Oh, nice.
Super NES generation.
Mm, old school.
Comes from mainly when I used to go up to the cabin on those rainy summers, because it's Newfoundland, it always rains.
Hook up the generator.
I used to have the little, the little handheld 650-watt Yamaha generator that I'd fire up, and my little 13-inch color television and my Super Nintendo. That's roughing it, I'm telling you right there.
Yeah.
But, the two games that I went to more than anything else, man, especially like if I was up there for a few days or up for a week with Mom and Dad, Super Street Fighter 2,
mm-hmm.
and Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
Oh, yeah.
I played those games. I remember me and Russ going up, just the two of us, for like 5 or 6 days, and all we did the entire time we were there was drink and play Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
Nice.
So, you know, yeah, I got to go with Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
Nice.
And Super Street Fighter 2, because I could just sit down and play that. For some reason, I like fighting games now, I can't do it. But when I was younger, I could sit down and...
Well, you're old now. It's the arthritis.
Well, that's probably a part of it in all seriousness. But
rheumatism.
Yeah. But I could sit down literally for hours upon hours by myself and play Street Fighter.
The doctor says I can't play Street Fighter anymore because of my shingles and my heart palpitations.
Yeah, no, I remember, actually, I do remember being up there. It was a nighttime, a big thunderstorm. And I remember sitting down and starting Street Fighter. I think it probably wasn't even Super at this point. It was probably Street Fighter 2 Turbo on SNES. And I started playing on 3 stars difficulty and just kept finishing the game until I had finished it on full difficulty.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone get past Vega on full difficulty.
Oh, I have. Many times. I used to play a lot of Street Fighter. So I think that's my choices.
Nice.
These days it would probably be Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Dark Souls is just that, like, oh, I don't know what I'm in the mood to play. Dark Souls!
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, in the old days, definitely Link to the Past and Street Fighter.
I don't know what mine would be nowadays. I play a lot of Borderlands.
Borderlands?
Mm.
Fuck you.
I couldn't do it.
No, man, the last third of that game, it shits itself.
I got so bored with it.
Yeah.
I'm playing a first-person shooter, which feels like a grind.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't. It's a first-person shooter. I understand Diabloizing the first-person shooter, but Diablo never felt like a grind.
What that game needed was, I think they needed to hack about 10 hours out of it.
I think they needed to make the enemies weaker. I think they needed to make that you could kill the bad guys faster.
Yeah, like, I got to there's a challenge map I'm in right now, one of the Colosseum or Gladiator missions, and it's me in a room with, like, 5 or 6 of the, what are the big guys called? The Brutes or whatever? Just the
I don't remember.
Bruisers or whatever, right? And the guys are like, fucked up on roids, and they all got, like, super big helmets on, like, Sledge. And it's just, there's, like, 5 or 6 of them. They all got crazy-ass shotguns. And I'm there in the corner with no cover with my sniper rifle. Oh.
Man, that fight with Sledge took me forever.
I should have played as Brick.
There you have it. I guess that's it for this week. That's our episode. You've been great. We've been
Blast Processing.
Relatively horrible, but, you know, whatever. You listen to us. It's your fault. If you want to leave some feedback, you can do so on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/something-or-another.
Actually, I'm throwing it out there. Any of our listeners who own a PlayStation 3 and want to hit up the Griffs, drop your PSN ID.
On our Facebook page.
Facebook
page, drop your PSN ID. We will gladly be your Huckleberries.
Except for me.
Except for Kev, because he doesn't own Griffs.
However, if you're a Minecraft server, let me know.
Oh, man, somebody should make Ghost Recon out of Minecraft.
If you have any cool pawns that you want to sell us on Dragon's Dogma, you know, we'll bite, maybe. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes. Just search DVD Verdict Presents. You'll get us. You'll get They Came from the North. Next week's episode of that's going to be awesome. This week's episode was also super awesome. If you haven't heard our Kevin Reynolds episode yet, I strongly suggest that you check it out. You can get us at dvdverdict.com every week, you know, where we pop up on the main page there, and we've got our own little section in the forums over there. If you want to leave some feedback, please, by all means. If there's anything we want you to take away from this episode, it is this.
You think you can frighten us with children's stories?
We're gone.